Please pray with me. May the good news come to us, gracious God, not only in words, but in the transforming power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may have found that gospel reading a tough one to listen to. As you may be aware, the word gospel means good news. But what we just heard didn't sound much like good news. But as we look into this passage, I'll try to show that it does bring good news. A message of hope for today and a wonderful future to look forward to. Though that good news is concealed by language that sounds like bad news. Jesus begins here by talking about signs in the sky and storms in the sea. In the way of context, this is a continuation of Jesus' prediction in 30 AD that the city of Jerusalem and the temple where the Jews worshiped would be destroyed. There, his list of signs also included wars and earthquakes, famines and plagues. And in our passage, he says, this generation will not pass away until all this has taken place. Well, Jerusalem and the temple were in fact destroyed by Roman armies around 70 AD. So Jesus' prediction that it would happen within a generation was fulfilled. That being the case, some interpreters have said that for us, this passage is just ancient history. Over and done. If that's all it is, I would not be devoting a sermon to it. But God has given us a living word, a dynamic gospel that continues to speak to us today. So when Jesus said, this generation, it could refer to any generation. And as you listen to it, you may have thought, that sounds kind of like our generation. Jesus talked about people being distressed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. Just this year, many of our fellow citizens who live in the paths of two major hurricanes were certainly terrified by the roaring of the waves. Others in Iowa, South Dakota, and nearby states endured historic flooding a few months ago. And those who live near the ocean watch anxiously as the sea level keeps rising. Jesus also mentioned earthquakes and plagues. Alaskans are used to frequent earthquakes. And Californians wait for the big one and fight out of control wildfires. Plagues? It's only been a few years since we were all touched by the COVID pandemic. If we take these disasters seriously, it makes sense that Jesus was not just speaking to his current generation, but to ours as well. It's an impressive confirmation of his promise in this passage. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And that's the beginning of the hope and encouragement that are underneath his talk of threatening events. In saying, my words will never pass away, Jesus is saying, in effect, I've got this. His words are intended to encourage his followers who are suffering and who are scared. One thing that I find encouraging is Jesus' realism about what is going on. If the message were simply, cheer up, don't worry, everything is fine, that would not be hope. Hope is recognizing that things are not the way they should be, but longing, maybe expecting that they will change in a good way. So I need a gospel that says, it's bad out there, but God is at work in the midst of the madness. I need a gospel that speaks honestly about what is happening, yet gives the good news of God working for good. And so Jesus says, these events are definitely bad, but they are signs that better things are on the way. He uses several expressions to describe these reasons for hope. He says, when you see this stuff happening, stand up and raise your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. And then you know that the kingdom of God is near. That's where the promised redemption comes from, the kingdom of God. And what is God's kingdom? It's a time referred to in the prayer from Jesus that we pray together each Sunday. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When the day comes that God's will is done on earth, that will be the kingdom of God. And it will be a wonderful time. It's what the book of Revelation calls a new heaven and a new earth, where God will personally live with us and there will be no more death, grief, or suffering. And so Jesus invites us to look honestly and courageously at the world's brokenness, but to live in hope because the kingdom of God is coming. I have a secular illustration of this perspective from the film The Two Towers in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. In this scene, Frodo is exhausted from his arduous and dangerous journey to take the ring to its destruction. And he's talking to his companion, Sam. I can't do this, Sam.
I know. It's all wrong. By rights, we shouldn't even be here. But we are. It's like the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing, this shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come, and when the sun shines, it will shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you. They meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't, because they were holding on to something.
What are we holding on to, Sam?
That there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo, and it's worth fighting for.
In the movie, Sam's vision was that the darkness would pass and a new day would come. Jesus goes further and invites us to live in hope of the kingdom of God. And the inaugural event for this final coming of the kingdom of God will be Jesus' return to earth, what he calls the coming of the Son of Man. I don't claim to know what Jesus' second coming will be like, but I do believe he is saying that he will come back to earth in some kind of actual visible way. I don't have a timeline either, but I do trust Jesus' promise. And why do I trust that promise of Jesus that seems so unlikely? Because of another promise he made and he made good on so long ago. And that also seemed very unlikely. He said that he would die and then he would rise. And he did make good on it. He was dead, and then he was alive. But looking forward to this second coming of Jesus, bringing in the kingdom of God, is not the only reason for our hope. Jesus is with us right now. After his resurrection, Jesus told his followers, I am with you always. And he is with us today, telling us we are loved, sharing our stress and our pain, giving us his peace in times of uncertainty and his strength to carry on. And Jesus being with us now means that God's kingdom is not just in the future. It is right now. Whenever someone does God's will today on the earth, that is part of the kingdom of God. For example, whenever there is a natural disaster, we hear of people who step up to help and rescue and care for the victims, sometimes at great risk to themselves. In doing God's work of compassion, they are part of the kingdom of God, whether they realize it or not. We do not yet see the final kingdom of God, and so we wait. We do not yet see Jesus coming in his fullness, and so we wait. But we do not wait passively or in despair. We wait in hope, and we serve. As Frederick Buechner puts it, to wait for Christ to come in his fullness is above all else to act in Christ's stead, as fully as we know how. Our calling is to be Christ to others we encounter. We of the church are the body of Christ on earth. We are the only body, the only hands and feet and arms Christ has in this world. And so we pursue justice, care for the vulnerable, give generously, forgive those who hurt us, and show God's love even to enemies. Our actions bear witness to our hope that is based on Jesus' assurance. Look up, for your redemption is near. I'll close with a story about the Connecticut legislature in the early years of the United States, around 1800. This was long before electricity was available, and they did their work by candlelight. But one day, the sun shone so brightly that they were able to operate by natural light. But then early in the afternoon, because of an unusual cloud formation, it suddenly went dark, as if it were dusk. Some of the legislators panicked, saying, "Signs in the sky! It's the second coming, the end of the world." And they wanted to adjourn right away and go home. But the speaker said, "Why don't we calm down and think this through? Either this is the day of the Lord or it isn't. If it isn't, there is no need to do anything different. If it is, I want to be found doing the work I am called to do. Bring out the candles." May it be so for us. Let us be found doing what Jesus calls us to do. By God's grace, let us wait patiently and work and live in hope. Amen.